So listen, my name is Jim Shackleton. I'm the location pastor in Woonsocket, and they've loosened their grip on me from Woonsocket and allowed me to be here this morning. So I'm very excited to welcome you online, all locations and TV, wherever you're streaming or tuning in or whatever location you're in. Welcome to Waters Church, right? Welcome. So if you're online, please go to waterschurch.guide for the digital bulletin. There is a little place for you to take notes. It's called Today's Message. Scroll to that. Click on it. Yes, you can fill it out. Yes, you can save it, and you can even read it later. So enjoy it. So I am here today, and man, am I excited to be here. I'm excited because it's always a blessing to preach God's word wherever I am. And so, you know, Pastor Tim, thanks for the investment in me. Thank you for your investment into young men preaching the gospel. And, you know, it's just awesome to have a leader like that, isn't it, church? Isn't it? So I'm here today to talk about Jonah. And Jonah has so many stories, so many little parts, and there's so many lessons. But before we go into that, I want to start with what this quote says. And it might sound familiar to you. Wise men learn from their mistakes, but wiser men learn from the mistakes of others. Who likes to learn from other people's mistakes and problems? Yeah, I'm not the only honest one in the house today. So there's actually a scripture, Proverbs 21, it says this: when a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. That's the ESV. And I went to the Message. Usually I don't go to the Message version, but I like it because it's in one sentence. It says this: simpletons learn the hard way, but the wise learn by listening. Who's tired of learning only from the hard way? Yeah, me too. I see your hands in the locations. I know they're up. So let's together, here's the invitation, together, let's become more wise today, all locations, online, wherever you're streaming, and let's listen to what God has. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Jonah's story, it's here for us to learn from. It's here for us to learn from. So Jonah is a prophet in the Bible. That's what the Bible calls him out as. He's a prophet. And in another Old Testament book, 2 Kings, he's believed to have been in like the ministry group with Elisha, that they ministered to one of the most powerful kings of Israel. This is the Jonah that we have four chapters in the Bible to read about. He once ministered to the most powerful king of Israel. But we don't have any stories about that. We have the story that we have in the Bible. And why is that? Why, like if I like ministered to a huge world leader, I would hope that the legacy story of myself and the impact that I've had would be something better than my worst time in ministry. I hope. But that waits on you guys to share those stories, not me, okay? So, but listen, there are so many small messages, so many small little pieces in Jonah, but there's one consistent theme, and it's God's grace. God's grace is all through these four chapters, so thick and so prevalent. So here's the Cliff Notes version. Who likes Cliff Notes? Me too. Here it is about Jonah. So Jonah was called to a place called Nineveh. God came to him and said, "You, I want you to go to Nineveh." Nineveh, let's start there. It was in enemy territory. Enemy territory. These enemies of Israel were annihilating and attacking Israel. So God calls him to an enemy city to do what? Wag his finger at him and tell him how horrible and go slay him? No. He says, go preach a message I will give you. So let's think of it this way. Don't answer this question. All locations, don't answer this question. The only people that can answer it if you're alone online and nobody can hear you, okay? Think of a country that you would consider an enemy. Think of that country. And now think of God calling you to go to that city in that country. Not to poke him in the face and punch him in the throat and annihilate him, take him out, but to preach God's repentance message. That's where Jonah was when he was called to Nineveh. It wasn't riding the wave of God's glory into a city where God's already been moving. Now, Jonah, here's the cliff notes. God calls Jonah, hey, you, go there, preach a message I will give you, will give you. Wasn't even given the message. Just kind of I imagine like a kick in the pants. Go, Jonah. Now, Jonah says, nope, not doing that. You want me to go there? I'm going here. Not going. So he runs and he flees and he pays people to go on their boat to get as far as humanly possible from where God had called Jonah to go. Now, what happens? There's a huge storm, and these sailors that own this boat, it is a big boat, because scripture says that Jonah went below to sleep. And I don't know anything about boats, but I know it's got to be pretty big to have a basement, okay? So it's a big old boat. Jonah's down there sleeping. Big old storm. All of the people on the boat are freaking out, and Jonah's sleeping like a baby. And they wake him. I'm like, what's wrong with you? They're like, was it your God that caused this? Did you do something? Did you do something? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? And it comes down that they say, Jonah, what'd you do? You told us you were trying to flee your God. And look at this storm. What did you do? He's so angry. And so he gets tossed over the boat, and the storm stops. That's a pretty big wake-up call, amen? Yeah, yeah. Hopefully I get woken up before that happens, amen? Then a big fish gobbles up Jonah. He's in there for 3 days, and then he repents, and God commands the fish, go throw him up on the shore. That's a pretty clean deliverance, amen? Fish goo everywhere, and you're thrown up on a beach and said, go now to Jonah, to Nineveh. And he does. And Nineveh responds, and Nineveh repents, and God holds back his destruction. And then Jonah does what every good prophet does. He sits there and does a pity party about how upset he is. I was right in the first place, God. That's Jonah after going through Prophet 101. That's the story of Jonah. Why is it this story? He ministered to the most powerful king of Israel. But the recorded story of Jonah is probably something he's a little ashamed of. But somehow God is glorified through it. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. All locations, let's stand together as we read God's word. And we pick up the scripture on the tail end of this scripture after Nineveh responds. And it goes like this. We start at chapter 3, verse 10 of Jonah. It says this, when God saw what they did, talking about Nineveh, how they had turned from their evil way, God relented from disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And here's the good prophet 101, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was in my country? That is why I made haste to try to flee to Tarshish. That's where he was trying to go on a boat. For I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. This is God's word. Let's join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that it is alive. We thank you that it's alive right now. We thank you that you are alive. Holy Spirit, would you fill this place? Would you use me as your instrument in your hand to preach the message that you have for your people here today? God, we just want to see your son Jesus. So please, please just reveal him. That's all we want. It's your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat, all locations. So I've titled this message, Jonah's Life Lessons, because again, we become more wise from listening. And so maybe you've lost someone in your life, close to you or pseudo close to you or what have you, but you have this point of reflection over that person's life and you ask yourself, is there something that they've taught me, something that I can carry on, something that impacted my life? I've done it. So I have to ask you, when have you done that? And this is why we look to Jonah, because he lived a life, and there are life lessons here. Number one life lesson, sin is in all of us. Sin is in all of us. And throughout the whole book of Jonah, there's two people. There's Jonah and there's Nineveh. Well, and there's God. He's like the overarching umbrella. He's through it all, okay? But under God, there's Jonah and there's the Ninevites. And both of them have sinned. The book of Jonah starts out with Jonah's sin, or a reflection or a depiction of his sin. But we don't find out the root cause until the tail end of Jonah. Okay, so here, and Jonah represents God's people. He's God's prophet. He's a mouthpiece. He speaks on behalf of God to God's people and to people that are not God's people, okay? So Jonah in the story, he represents Christians. He represents God's people, those that have put faith in God. Christian, sin is in all of us. On location, too. And online, Christian, sin is in all of us. Now, Ninevites, or those that are far from God, or lost in sin, or you're in the ways of the world, or you're curious this morning, or you're not yet a Christian, or you're just figuring out what's it mean to believe in Christ, you're not the only sinner. But you do have sin just like us, just like everybody. Sin is in all of us. So Jonah 1:3, I'm going to go through the first two verses, but the verse 3 is going to be in your notes and on the slides here. Verse 1 says, this is how the story starts. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. I don't know how to pronounce things like Tim. He's really good at it. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. And verse 3 picks up here. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid them the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So verse 3 opens up right away. In this instance, running from God is a sin because God told him go here and he goes there. If you have children and you say do this and they do that, you know it's disobedience. Okay? But the question we have to ask is what's the root? Because running from God in and of itself is not always a sin or the only sin. It is a reflection of something causing you to run from the presence of God. And the answer is the same across all people, all time. It is one thing, sin. Now, sin has many, many masks. Many masks. So yours is not mine, and mine is not yours, and yours looks different than mine, but it's still rooted in the same evil, and we call it sin. Now, what was Jonah's sin? We're going to hear about that in a little bit. But it wasn't just the running. It was the why behind the running. The why is that he was called to his enemies to preach a message of repentance. And Jonah said no. Disobedience number one, sin number one. Number two is the why, because I hate him. I hate him. And I don't want any part of their salvation. I hate them that much. I don't even want to contribute to the message of the good news of God's grace to that sinful people. That's the why behind Jonah's running. Now remember, there's two. The Ninevites also have sin. Okay, and this is what Jonah 1:2 says. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Their evil is their sin. Well, what was it? Great question. The Bible doesn't care to share that with us right now. Because your sin and my sin and your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin, the mask it wears is not the important part. The important part is what it is and what God came to do with it. So the focus is not on Nineveh's sin. It's that it was so thick that it came up before the Lord. I mean, geez, if something I do goes before the Lord, I pray to God for his grace that it's not that. I hope it's something better. Now, Romans 3 says this, the Ninevites were considered Gentiles to the Jewish people. Gentiles are just simply not Jewish, okay? This is what Romans says. There is no difference, Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. There's no difference. Sin is sin. Life lesson number two. God responds to repentance. And guess when he does it? All the time. All the time. Again, there's two people, Jonah and the Ninevites. We look at them. So Christians, and those that are far from God, that's who the Ninevites represent, need to repent of sin. Need to. It wasn't negotiable then. It's not negotiable now. We need to. Now, sometimes we think, as Christians, we think the storms that come in our life and the big fishes that gobble us up and the problems, that it's evil and it's trying to take me away from God's purposes. I'm here to tell you that God is the one that appointed the storm to the sailors that Jonah was in that boat to. God is the one that appointed that fish to go gobble up Jonah. God is the one that put it in place. So Christian, before you start rebuking the storm in your life, don't ask me, ask God, is this to bring me back to repentance? Is the fish I'm in, Jonah was in the fish for 3 stinking days. Had to be gross. Had to be. Number one question I have for Jonah in heaven, what were you waiting for, man? Straight up fish gobbles me up. Get me out of here. I don't want any part of this. Jonah, 3 days. And then he's like, oh my God, I need to repent. Yes, why'd you wait so long in the grossness? Christian, why are you waiting so long in the grossness? Non-Christian, what are you waiting for? The belly of the fish doesn't get any cleaner. The storm doesn't get any more settled. Sin does not get any more pretty. It doesn't get any more fulfilling. It doesn't turn your frown upside down. The ways of the world are dead. It makes you feel good now. And then when you die, what do you have to hold on to? You're gone from the world. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? So God appointed the storm. He appointed the fish to Jonah to bring Jonah to repentance. And then check this out. After that repentance happens, God appoints and tells the fish, go throw him up now. And so that happens, pretty gross. Then God appoints Jonah again, go to Nineveh and preach the message I will give you. I will give you. He still didn't even have the message. Maybe Jonah was thinking this whole fish story was the message. I don't know, maybe it was. But God says to him, go. You ask if God is patient? I think he just demonstrated it. You ask if God is gracious? I think he just showed it. You ask, does God give second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances? I think Jonah demonstrates that. Now, Jonah, his repentance is in chapter 2. It's 1-9. It's this glorious prayer. In the belly of the fish, his glorious prayer. And he ends. Remember, the cause of him running is that he didn't want any part in the salvation of Nineveh because he hated them, because they're enemies. This prayer ends with Jonah saying, salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, Nineveh, also repentance. We see that in chapter 3. So God appoints the storm. God appoints the fish. God appoints the fish to throw him up. God appoints Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now he goes to Nineveh and he goes, Nineveh, it's going to happen in 40 days. You're all going to die. God's going to, destruction is coming. You need to repent of your sin. And what does Nineveh do? Ugh, get out of here. We don't like that. No. All the way through the whole city, all the way it got the attention of the king. The king of this great city, it's thought to have been 600,000 people strong, this city. And in that day, that was a city, okay? It gets to the king and he puts a decree through the whole land. Everybody, stop eating. Even your animals, stop it. We're gonna cry out to God. We're going to cry out to God. And this is my favorite part about Nineveh's repentance, is that this is what the king says. Let everyone turn from their evil and from the violence that is in his hand. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Who knows? Maybe he will. And they did. And God saw their repentance and he said, I'm going to hold back my destruction because of your repentance from your sin. Luke 5 says this. This is what Jesus says. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not a better life, not a polished you, not a better thought process. Repentance. Life lesson number 3. God is full of grace and compassion. Full of it. Again, the two people, Jonah and the Ninevites. Jonah sees grace and compassion, and the Ninevites see grace and compassion. Christians, non-Christians, I'm here to tell you that repentance brings grace and compassion of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of you. Turn from your evil, wicked ways. Pursue God through Jesus. That is the only way is through Jesus. Jesus says this. He said to them, to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were those religious and the Sadducees, those religious people that thought that they knew it all and knew how to expect the Messiah and all these things that were right and holy and all of that. They thought they were so right because of their practices and because of their diligence to those things. And Jesus said to him, this is what he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, I'm not sharing this message saying Jesus is the only way. I've put my faith in it, and Jesus himself says it about himself. Jonah receives God's grace throughout this whole entire book of Jonah. And it starts with the very first verse. Jonah was called to Nineveh. And he apparently wasn't called to Nineveh because his great belief that Nineveh could be saved. Okay? So it's nothing that he earned. It's nothing. It wasn't a transactional. God, I've done. Call me here. God's grace. And he looked down and he said, you, Jonah, go. God's grace, number one, in Jonah's life in this story. Number two is the storm. The storm is another thing of God's grace that he sent, because he could have looked at Jonah's sin and disobedience and said, you got what's coming to you. He didn't. He sends a storm. He sends the great fish. He lets him be there in 3 days, and he listens to him from the belly of the fish. The cry of God's people rose to heaven, and God responded to it. So I ask you, are you in the belly of the fish inside of an ocean right now? Literally. You got one up on Jonah then. You're a little closer to heaven. If he can hear Jonah in the grossness of a fish's belly, he sure as heck can hear you. And when you cry out and when you repent. But you have to do it. I can't do it for you. Your mom can't, your dad can't, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, your uncle, your guardian, your small group leader, Pastor Tim, the worship team, everybody. Can't do it for you. You need to do that. Now, God's compassion and grace. We see on the tail end of Jonah, the closing part of Jonah. So Jonah again does what Prophet 101 does. After he goes to Nineveh and he preaches the repentance and he goes, and then, you know, you'd think that he'd be like part of the celebration or like part of the ministering at the altar or part of the, you know, small group discussion. No, he does this. He picks up his ball and he goes home. That's what he does. Little pity party. Jonah does this. I'm going to go outside the city. I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to watch for the destruction of Nineveh. This is what he did.
You think the belly of the fish would have worked that out in him? He's watching for the destruction of Nineveh. And what does God do? He appoints a plant to grow and provide Jonah shade so he could be cool and comforted in his whining. Okay, and then what does God do the next day? He appoints a worm to eat that plant so the plant decays. And the Lord sends an Easter wind, the hot scorching wind, like a blow dryer in your face. And now Jonah's like, I'm all hot and sweaty. He's probably like me. Like, if I were down in Florida, that'd be me, okay? Like, it's all hot and I'm sweaty. I don't like him. Okay, that's Jonah. What does God do? He uses that to demonstrate his compassion and his grace to Nineveh and to Jonah. And this is what it says in Jonah 4. We pick up it at 10 and 11, the last two verses of Jonah, and we don't know where it goes from here. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. You did not, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I, this is God talking, should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, which there were more than 120,000 persons who did not know their right hand from their left hand as much cattle? What he's saying is, should I not pity that there were six figures, hundreds of thousands of people in Nineveh that had no moral, scriptural, truthful teaching about God himself? Jonah's fighting over the little plant and all this nonsense and his enemy, and God is saying, I am so full of grace that it's not just about you, Jewish boy. It's about those other people that are lost in sin. Now, Jonah's story is not about Jonah. It's not. From the beginning of Jonah, God's intention through this book was to save the Ninevites. That's what this book is about. It's about God's grace and saving that city, that person to you, that enemy, that horrible person, that sinner. That's who God saves through Jonah. Man, Nineveh receives compassion and grace. How do I know this? Because it starts in verse 2. It says, Nineveh did some evil. So much evil that it, like, I imagine like a like that cloud over Linus, but like bad evil ascending to the Lord, and like this is bad. That's what it starts out with, that they were so full of evil and wickedness that it came before the Lord. And the Lord could have just gone vaporized. But he didn't. He appointed Jonah to go preach hope and deliverance and repentance to them. And what did God do? He relented the destruction after repentance. After repentance. What is repentance? It's remorse, it's guilt, it's I've wronged you. And that's just a confession. But repentance is rooted in a confession that drives your action away from what you're confessing. You see, I'm going in my evil ways this way, going and going and going and going and going and going. And now, by the power of God and the grace of God, it falls upon me that I can't do this anymore. I need God. There's a better way. There's better than evil. Okay? And so I say, man, all I've done is evil. I've committed sin against you, God. That's the confession. Repentance drives the action to go to God and pursue him just as much as you were pursuing evil in the world. You see, repentance does not make you perfect. Repentance is saying, I have committed wrong before you, God. And there's my confession. And repentance starts when that confession drives action. Action to the one you're confessing to. Oh, Romans 6, it says this, for sin will no longer have dominion over us, since you are no longer under the law, but under grace. Grace means You can try to add up all your Girl Scout cookies and your gold stars of what you do. That does not earn you more grace. That earns you earnings. It's called a paycheck. Hopefully you work for your paycheck. If you don't, get your act together, Christian. Work for your paycheck. Okay? But doing good does not equate to grace. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called grace. It'd be called you deserve it. Ephesians 2. Paul says this, but God being rich in what? Judgment? Rich in scorn? Rich in embarrassing you? Rich in mercy. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, dead in that fish, dead in the sea, drowning in the sea. You were dead like Jonah was dead. You see, before Jonah was in the fish, do you know where he was? He was dying in the sea. Literally. What happens when you get thrown over a boat? Down. I could only imagine, maybe that'll be the second question I ask Jonah. What were you thinking before the fish gobbled you up? You're drowning. The light of the world is going and getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And we know that he confesses this because it's part of his prayer. Go read it. Go read his confession of repentance in chapter 2. He said he was sinking. The seaweeds are wrapped around my head. Dead in our trespasses is what Ephesians says. Made us alive together in Christ is what God's mercy does. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might know, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow, that is a mouthload. You want to know the grace and kindness of our God and Creator? It's known through Jesus Christ. If you've experienced it now and you're outside of Christ, that's what we call the tip of the iceberg. That's common grace. That's common mercy. And I'm here to tell you that there's salvation mercy. There's salvation grace that you only know when you've been saved through Christ Jesus. And I haven't seen your side of the fence outside of Christ. I've seen mine, okay? But I'm telling you, the grass is greener on the Jesus side. Okay, life lesson number 4. I got to go quick because we got 2 services here. I only got one in Woonsocket right now, so work with me here. Life lesson number 4. Jonah points to the perfect prophet, Jesus. Jonah points to the perfect prophet. Jonah was a flawed prophet. He was a human prophet, full of mistakes and not perfect. But he points to the perfect one, Jesus. And so Jonah is mentioned again in the New Testament, in Matthew and in Luke. It's the same story recounted 2 different ways. We're going to go to Matthew first. But he answered them. Jesus answered them. Who's them? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. He answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. It's not me. It's not the band. It's not Waters Church. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one saying this about himself. We go to Luke, and this is what it says. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, again, Jesus saying to who? The Pharisees and Sadducees that were so blinded in their empty, soulless religious practices, they were blinded from the one that they were searching and waiting for, the Messiah. They thought it would come like this, and it came like that, and they said, no, it's got to be this way. No, this way. You must be wrong. It must be this way. They were so blinded from their pursuit for generation after generation and generation of a Messiah. And he's here. And they're just blind. Luke says this. This is who he's saying it to. He began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, the Son of Man be to this generation. You want a sign from God? Here it is. Here. You can stop searching. Stop searching. You, all locations online, you're looking for something. You're not in Christ yet. You want a sign from God. I'm here to tell you it's right here. It's right here. Christian, you want a sign. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Do I have a purpose? Do I have a call? It's right here. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Stop looking. Stop making it more complex than it has to be. I make things overly complex. I'm so glad Shane and Tim aren't here because they'd be the first ones to say amen to that, okay? But listen. Listen. It is that easy. It is that simple. It is. Jesus is not simply and only a prophet. He is not, just like he's not simply a human. He's fully man and fully God. Okay? Jesus isn't a prophet that speaks on behalf of God. Jesus was God in flesh. Jesus was the Word of God, the Word of God that was there for the creation of everything. The Word of God. You see, Jesus is sinless, who took the punishment of my sin and your sin. He didn't deserve it, I did, you did. He was perfect, he was sinless. He lived a life that was perfect, and he's got the only perfect sacrifice to God in heaven for all sin. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is perfectly obedient, even, the scripture says, even to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is perfectly obedient. Jesus was perfect sacrifice for sin. Check this out. Jonah was rescued from the darkness. Jesus overcame it. Jesus overcame darkness, death, and sin. Just when the world around him thought they got him, ha! He's not who he says he is. He's been dead in that tomb for 3 days. What happens? Stone rolled away. Empty grave. He's alive. He appears to his disciples and to his people. And he empowers them to go preach the gospel throughout the whole world. And he gives his Holy Spirit, the Counselor. The Counselor is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the perfect prophet ever. And the only way to him, only way to God, is through him. So sermon in a sentence here. Turn to God today and put your faith in Jesus. He is faithful to deliver you out of the darkness and into God's glorious light. Yes, it's true. Yes, it is that simple. There's complexities and things take time to get massaged out and to get healed from and to be corrected in. Yes, yes, and yes. But that does not take away from God's faithfulness to deliver you out of darkness into his light. Colossians says this, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into his kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. 1 Peter 2 says this in verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Christian, I'm here to tell you, you're looking for a sign of what your purpose is. It's right there. Proclaim his excellencies of how he took you from darkness and put you in his marvelous light. And just like sin has many masks, so do the testimonies of our living God. There is one common theme. I've been saved from sin. Your testimony, my testimony, your story, and your story, all for God's glory, all different masks. No one greater than the other, because the one that is greatest over them all is who is exalted through these stories. Christian, you have tied the rock around your ankles. God has not. And it is okay to untie those from your ankle and believe that God has something better for you. It's okay. Oh, man. Non-Christian, if you're here today, we're going to stand and close in just a moment. Non-Christian, if you're here today, don't raise your hand. Don't do anything. It's you are my honored guest. I'm so honored that you're here. At all locations, online, wherever you're streaming this, honored that you would do Sunday morning with us, if it's Sunday morning or whatever time you're tuning in. And I'm here to tell you, turn from your evil ways. Turn from the wickedness of this world. Repent of the sin and turn to God. Place your faith in Jesus. Because you might be in the belly of a fish and it's gross in there, but God's the one that appoints the fish to spit you out, so you're not in there anymore. You're not in that captivity. You're not in that darkness. You're not in that bondage. And friend, the same question I'm going to ask Jonah in heaven is the one that I'm going to ask you. What are you waiting for? Jonah, why'd you wait 3 days to call out to God and repent? Wasn't it gross in there? Friend, that's far from God. Aren't the ways of the world that you're captive in right now, isn't it gross in there? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I've been captive to the world before, and I know it's gross and dirty and nasty and does nothing for you. And I'm here to tell you, it is greener on the Jesus side of the fence.